Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. Explore the mind of MLB All-Star, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove winner, Brett Boone, as he sits down with his friends from the world of professional sports. Now up to bat, Brett Boone.
Let's go out and talk to our friend Brett Boone. He's the host of the Brett Boone Podcast on Odyssey, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. Insider Calls presented by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers the professional-grade products you need delivered when and where you need them. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Good morning to you, Brett Boone.
Good morning, Ben. How are we doing today?
I have to say a lot just to get you on the air every Wednesday.
Yeah, it's quite a long read.
It's a mouthful.
Well, thanks for stopping by, but we will talk to you next week, man.
It really is. I'm really something. I've learned that coming on the Ben and Wood Show. The elaborate intro every week. Yeah, I'm really something. My kids don't think so, but I don't know. I think they're wrong.
It's funny. I've got my kid in here with me, Booney. He's 8. And I said, hey, you got a big leaguer coming on. You play baseball. Is there anything you want to ask him? He goes, no. And I said, any like wisdom that you want to grab from him while you have this platform? He goes, no.
Well, we're raising an entitled generation.
We really are. He's over here on his iPad right now.
Are you sure?
Now.
You got one last chance,
you
Bo.
You lived with a bunch of big leaguers growing up. I mean, did you constantly ask them questions?
Yeah.
Did you get tired of it at some point? Like, Dad, I don't want to talk about baseball anymore.
Did they just give it to you all the time? Like, Booney, Brett, you need to do this.
Grandpa,
like,
Dad,
up,
I mean, enough of the baseball.
Gramps gave it to me. He gave it to me every day. What I needed to do, where I needed to. Yeah, shut up, Gramps. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear your mindless stories about this guy, Ted Williams. Who the hell is he?
Right.
It's funny. But then you grow up and you look back and go, wow. That was pretty special.
I was pretty lucky to have that wealth of knowledge.
Actually, Brett, I don't think we've ever asked you, like, since we're talking about you being, you know, 8 years old or whatever, like, what was Little League like for you with your family's history? Like, were you always expected to be the best player? Were you always the best player? Like, how did that go? I mean, you probably had certainly better resources than most kids.
Expectations were high.
Well, you know, I grew up in Jersey, and I just did a show about this the other day. I look back, my childhood buddies, and growing up in Jersey or Philly, from that part of the country, you are all in. If you live in South Jersey, Philadelphia, you are a Flyers fan, you are a Sixers fan, you're an Eagle fan, you're a Philly fan, and you're a Rocky Balboa fan. And that's just the way it is. My buddies, though, everything was about Philadelphia sports. And, you know, my dad is the catcher on the Phillies. And to me, it's not a big deal. It's just what he does. It's my life. And, you know, my friends really didn't give it the time of day. They didn't treat me any day. And I really look back and I appreciated that. But if you're talking about the little, yeah, there are always expectations. There are always the fathers in the crowd. Oh, he's playing because his dad's Bob Boone. You know, you're always going to have that growing up. But for me, it didn't, I didn't care. I didn't care. I was there to hang out with my buddies and get a Slurpee after the game. So little, my childhood experience was awesome. And yeah, you're usually, one of the better players in the league when you're a kid, when you end up doing it for a living. So that helped, but I really was unaffected by it. And you know, I thank my buddies because they didn't treat me any differently. And I was just a normal kid and got to do things that now looking back were unbelievable. But at the time it was just, no, it's just, this is where my dad works. It's take your son to work day. And I go to the vet and put my uniform on and hang out with Pete Rose and Luzinski and Schmidt. And wow, that was my day, but it wasn't a big deal. And to their credit, none of my group around me or family members made it feel like it was anything special.
It probably was easier for you too, because your dad wasn't your coach, which I am of this one over here. And it's hard, right? And you
want, just don't be a psycho.
Don't
be a psycho. Be a normal person.
I'm trying to be. I do. I really try to be a normal person out there. The good news is like you had big leaguers in your family. You're like, man, there's pressure. I'm going to have to get up to that. He's already a better baseball player than I've ever been, and he's 8 years old. So no pressure there. Just can go out and have fun, Booney. But no, Bo is here. Bo, just say hi. Hi, Brett. There he is. He's back in the background.
Hi, Brett.
Yeah, Bo. Hey, Bo. What's happening, man? You a good player?
Yeah.
I've seen your dad play, so that's not really stretching.
Booney was giving me grief last year. He's like, you got to pull your head out of your A. And I'm like, I looked at the stats. I thought I didn't know how bad I was doing. And I looked at the stats. I was like, I'm hitting 600. Dude, leave me alone. Like, I'm not actually doing that bad. You're the worst mentor of all time. No, we got Brett Boone on with us here this morning.
I'll never forget, Booney, the first year you came to fantasy camp, you walked by one day. After like 1 or 2 days in, you walked by me in the hallway and you just go, your buddy is a head case.
I mean, Woodsy acts like it's he's in a garage band, and then all of a sudden he's got to play Taj Mahal because he's on the field at fantasy camp. And I'm just going, Woodsy, you got to relax. Take a you know, anti-anxiety pill. This is fantasy camp. You're actually better than most of the players here. Start acting like it. Paulie has no problem. Paulie's one of the better players out there, and he just rolls with it and breaks and throws strikes. And Woodsy's like, I have to throw strikes. I have to.
I wonder where he gets it from.
But that, I'll tell you what, it's entertaining for me. It really is. I'm entertained more than you guys know.
I was entertained by your brother, and, you know, it's New York, so everything is blown way out of proportion, I think. Jazz Chisholm takes the field the other day with a blow pop in his mouth, something you wouldn't have done. I was surprised. Your brother goes, no, I that pissed me off. I was pissed about it. Jazz was cool about it after the game. They had a conversation. This is what happens. You did something wrong. I'm your manager. I'm going to tell you how I feel and you know, remedy the situation. Of course, he goes out last night, hits a huge bomb for them, and Aaron then says, actually, he can have as many blow pops as he wants. Things like that, Booney. I didn't think it was a big deal. I've seen guys jam pouches of Red Man. I've seen Tim Raines used to have cocaine in his pocket. Like, what are we talking about here?
Blowing bubbles. While he's throwing the ball from third to first.
While he's hitting, I saw A-Rod blow a bubble while he was hitting. Like, why? Why is everybody so upset about this?
Well, I don't know if, you know, first of all, you got to consider it's Jazz Chisholm. He's eccentric, and he's going to do the thing that's going to cause, you know, bring attention to him. It's all about managing expectations, managing personalities. And I look at it, that's something obviously I would never do. UL Washington used to play with the toothpick.
The toothpick. And it looked badass.
There is a difference between chewing tobacco, chewing gum, and eating a sandwich during the game. And essentially, I put the blow pop in the eating a sandwich category.
You know,
it's kind of a clown move. It just is.
Well, if you have to dive and you hit your head on the ground, you could jam that stick into your throat, would be bad. But couldn't you dive? dive and choke on your gum?
Yeah, true.
When you're chewing gum, that's a normal thing to do. It's kind of it's better than chewing tobacco. You know, I wish I would have never started chewing tobacco. That's Same. What I did. But when I put the tobacco in, that's not for everybody to look at me. I'm chewing tobacco. When you got a blow pop, it's kind of, hey, look at me. But
it is.
That being said, Aaron's his manager. He's the Yankee second baseman. He's going to be, if they're going to do something, he's going to be a big part and in the middle. So you've got to manage that. And he goes out and I think that's the thing I give Aaron the most credit for. He handles his personnel very well. Yeah. There's a lot of egos there. There's a lot of different personalities. Jazz is definitely a different personality, but because Aaron gives him the respect, yet checks him when he needs to be checked.
Yep.
Jazz responds to that, and it makes him a cohesive part of that unit, and that's what it's all about. You're going to have to manage a ton of different personalities, but your job is to find it and make it work in that team environment headed towards, you know, winning a championship. That's always the goal. So I think he handled it well. Jazz got the gist of what he said. At the same time, because of their past history and the way Aaron's treated him, he's got a lot of respect for Aaron. So when Aaron says something firm,
yep,
he kind of goes, yep, maybe I crossed the line. Maybe I need to get back in line. And he did hit a big home run for him yesterday, and life will go on. It's not a big deal. You know, coming from a different generation and then everything I've been through watching this current generation, at first, everything I saw shocked me. And now you get to a point where, no, this is their time and this is their generation. And I've softened on a lot of my thoughts on how you should play, how you should behave on the field. It's kind of, I'm changing with the times, and I think you have to do that or this game will roll you over. Nobody cares and wants to hear about how it was when you played all day long, every day, and my generation was the best and we did everything right. Everybody gets sick of that. Just kind of roll with it. It's not my time anymore. It's their time. And you got to accept some things that necessarily you don't agree with, or you wouldn't have behaved that way. I'll tell you, my grandfather and my generation, he would roll his eyes at everything we did.
Yeah.
And I thought we were pretty normal, but compared to his workmanlike mentality is lunch pail. I mean, those guys were grinders, and you talk about tough guys, the guys that rode trains to their games everywhere they went. I mean, that was a different generation, and they grew up in the Great Depression. So they were a different style, and they probably thought our generation of the 90s and the 2000s was just outrageous. But I think that's just life. And I think the next generation is going to be frowning at the current generation. That's just the way life is.
Booney, did you ever get benched for anything? Because every night.
Never.
Okay. I was just going to ask.
Yes, I've got benched for sucking.
Right.
That's it.
But here's what I see every single night, right? Like, guy doesn't run out of ground ball, or, you know, has a less than 100% effort on a dive, right? And all I see on Twitter is everyone's, you got to bench him. You got to bench him. And I the people that want to treat professionals like you would in Little League, to teach them a lesson, it doesn't happen much anymore. I remember Bobby Cox pulling Andrew Jones in the middle of an inning, and that was shocking. Yep. Like, shocking even when it happened then. It doesn't happen a lot anymore. But you played a long time in the big leagues. Did it ever happen? And the reason I ask this is because if I was a manager and I saw my guys coming in the morning, I'm not saying you did this. If I saw my guys coming in the morning, bro, where you been? You been out all night? You got home at 4 a.m.? You smell like a brewery? That, to me, is more egregious than not running out of ground ball that, you know, you're probably going to get out 98% of the time.
I was probably guilty of that a few times. And you know what the bottom line is? You better get some hits that day.
Better get,
you get some hits. If you get some hits, you're going to have the same reaction from your manager as Aaron did from Chisholm after the homer. Have as many blow pops as you want.
Yeah.
You come in smelling like a brewery and you go 3-for-4 with a 2-run homer. You know what the skipper says?
Buy new drinks. Yeah, go do it again.
Go do it again.
It's wild.
So, yeah, I think it was a little more structured in my day where, yeah, you might get in trouble for something, especially on the field. But I think you separated it perfect early when you said there is a difference between professional and amateur. I think at the young level, I think kids need consequences. I think there needs to be more structure. You're still you're a boy, you're a young man. We're part of our job as coaches and mentors is to shape you into a grown man and to do it right. So I think there should be rules at the high school, at the college level,
sure,
that you have to live up to. But once you become a pro, That's what you do for a living. That's your way to put food on the table. And if you don't play up to expectations, you'll get fired.
Right.
And you'll be done and you'll go home, and that will be your consequence. But I think you need to respect people when they're grown men and treat them as such. And then it falls where it may. But no, it's not a time. Now, if something's outrageous,
right,
and you don't run out of ground ball, yeah, there's going to be some there. That's all handled internally. But the slap on the wrist and the, oh, he didn't run hard to first. Well, this is a 5-time All-Star and he didn't do it one time. I really need him and I really don't want to put him in a position, who knows what his personality may be,
sure,
that he quits on me. You know, I owe him $27 million. It was a little bit different. They've got a little bit more leverage these days.
Indeed.
But I think you treat guys like pros. You treat them with respect. You'll usually get respect in return.
I love it.
Good stuff, Brett. Out of time, but we will save some conversations for next week. I did want to get into each team's going to be at their midway point of the season in the next few days. So kind of take a look at who you think are the pretenders and the contenders. But we can do that next Wednesday. We'll actually be in Chicago next Wednesday for our show broadcast, and we're going to Wrigley Field for the Padres-Cubs game. So that'll be a lot of fun.
You got it. All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Booty.
There he is, Brett Boone.
What is Toyota affordability? It all starts with buying smart, and your Toyota dealer has great deals available to qualified customers on reliable cars and SUVs, including the redesigned RAV4, spacious Grand Highlander, sporty Camrys, and Corollas. It means driving for less with efficient hybrid and plug-in hybrid options available throughout the lineup, extending your overall driving range and delivering great MPGs, saving you money at the pump. And it means trading for more. Toyota is known for building long-lasting vehicles. And as the best resale value brand, according to Kelley Blue Book, your Toyota can be worth thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicle's projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Books, KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.